I wasn't sure whether God would have me to do anything or not. And yet, I do rejoice in the Word of God, and I thought there'd be to be a need. And still, do I waver on what I ought to say? Certainly, I'm going to get to the armor of God, but I think I'm going to read it a little bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As they were singing that song, and I was listening to it, I thought of when I shall indeed be very near to the Savior, bodily. In 1 Corinthians 15, he said, in verse 51, "Behold, I show unto you," or "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There's a day coming when I'm going to be very close to the Savior bodily. I very much do look forward to that.
Amen.
Therefore, do I want to live as I ought to live today? I want to live right today. I want to do what God has me to do today. I want to live in this life appropriately so that when I go before my Savior, I shall not be ashamed.
Right.
I want to be before Him without shame. I'm going to look at another passage before I get it over into Ephesians chapter 6, but Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "And I say to you, O saints of God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, what is it to be conformed to this world? What is it to be conformed to this world? Certainly, the Amish have a very peculiar look at that, about what it is to be conformed into this world. But I think let's take a scriptural look at what it is to be conformed to this world. 1 John chapter 2, I think it is. 1 John chapter 2 said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Now, what are those things? The scripture's going to tell us, Josh. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." The love of the Father is not in him. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Zane, you're going to pass away with this world if you don't do the will of God. You're going to pass away with it. You're going to pass away with it. God forbid. But what is it to be conformed to this world? Well, if I was to be conformed to this world, I think that I would be serving the lust of my flesh. And I think that I would be serving the lust of my eyes. And I think that I would be serving the pride of life. I think I'd be giving those a lot of consideration in my life, and I would be thinking about those things. And I would let my mind to ponder upon those things, and that's where my mind would be at. But no, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 said to do something different with your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's not to say that you're going to be able to do it by yourself. It's by the mercies of God that you're going to be able to do these things. By the mercies of God. Therefore, God having pity upon you, he's going to be merciful to you and let you to do this. He said, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Means don't be conformed to those lusts of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, and the pride of life. You don't want those things. But how? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How is it that you would have a renewing of your mind? I'm renewed in my mind in the scriptures.
Amen.
Daily in the scriptures do I find things where God shows me. And once more, the faith of God comes into my heart and I rejoice at the things that are written in here. I make a conscious choice to rejoice in them. Yeah, I make a conscious choice even now to rejoice in them. I rejoice in what the Word of God says. I'm not going to sit there and listen to my own thoughts, the wandering of my will, the wicked things that pass through them. But the devil's so careful to start with something that don't look so wicked. It's not so wicked. It's just some thought that's contrary to the Word of God. It's just some thought that takes my mind away from where I was just considering the verses that were in my mind. And suddenly, they're gone. And 10 minutes from now, they're farther gone. And an hour from now, they're very far gone. And suddenly, I begin to have temptations once more. But I don't want to live in that way. So I want to be renewed in the spirit of my mind to be always considering the Word of God. What is the strength that I've found? I've found the great strength in considering the Word of God. Considering it at all times. Sometimes when I'm at work and I'll be quoting scripture in my mind, sometimes when God will just put the scripture in my mind. And what does it do for me? It causes me not to speak foolishly. It causes me to work as I ought to work. It causes me not to have those temptations where I think, how can I stand against these things? It ain't nothing to stand against them things. Nothing to when I have the Word of God in my mind.
Amen.
I thank God for the Word of God. What does that tell you, Josh? That you probably should get the Word of God in your mind. Right. You are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Right.
Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and really this is where I wanted to go, and so here we are. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6 says, in verse 10, and I spent some time as I was memorizing over some of these verses on Thursday or Friday night morning, I don't remember which, and just considering exactly what it is that God said here. We're all against the other versions, thank God, I agree. We're all against them, but we're fine with general truths.
Right.
And that's what they offer, general truths. That's generally what we believe. But I want to know exactly what God said. Right. Exactly what he has for me. Why? That is the strength. That is the victory. I have exceeding joy in the exactness of what God has said. I have exceeding joy in the scriptures. Not in other things, but in the scriptures. And what God has said.
Amen.
Says in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. No, I'm going back to where I said, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Because what is God instructing us to do here? He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How would you do that? How would you practically be strong in the Lord? Well, I know that my life is hid with Christ in God. And I don't know what to do about it, other than to know that by faith, I'm in the Lord, and I don't need to be given over to the things that are my temptations. I don't need to be given over to the foolishness of my thoughts, but my strength is in God, and I just trust Him. I just trust Him to help me, that He would help me to know what to do moment by moment, how to interact with people, how to talk with people, how to stop talking. I just trust that God would do that. I just trust that He would be my strength, that He would help me to do those things. And you know what? Moment by moment, when in truth and in reality I do trust the Savior, He does help me. He does do those things. For He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And my strength is in the Lord. It's not in other things. It's not in how I talk. But my strength is in the Lord. In the Lord. And in the power of His might. That's not my own might. That's not about what I can do. But I trust in the living Savior that through His might and through His power, He can help me. Said, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, there's a whole armor of God. You know what? I have prayed to the Lord sometimes and said, God, I'm going into this day, but there's nothing on my head, and it's going to get blown off. I've said that to the Lord. And I've said other times, God, I'm going into this day, and I don't remember exactly how I've said it. I'm saying it however, but I'd say it to Him in that fashion. I'm going in there without a shield today, and I've got nothing to quench the fiery darts of the wicked this day. I've got nothing to quench. Why? Because self-examination tells me I can't just say I've got the helmet of salvation on, and in fact, I do not have it on when I don't have it on. I'm not trusting in the salvation of God. I don't have that helmet of salvation on. I'm just not walking with it on. And I examine myself and see this is indeed the case. How do I examine myself? By the Scriptures. How do I know? Because God brings Scriptures into my heart to show me where I'm in error, that I have an error here that is not helping me. He says here, I'm just telling you, it's the Scriptures.
Yes.
It's the Scriptures. I'm not talking about your foolish thoughts, the things you think that are right and that are wrong. I'm talking about when God uses the Scriptures to show you. I'm not talking about your own spirit and the things that you say and the things that you do. I'm talking about the Scriptures of God coming into your heart. That's what I believe, friend. The Scriptures.
Amen.
Said, put on the whole armor of God, not part of it. You're not to walk into that. You're not to walk a day in just part of the armor of God, but to put on the whole armor of God. Said, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I'm just going to break that down. For He said, that you may be able to. So if you didn't do it, you wouldn't be able to.
Right. Right.
You're not walking without the whole armor of God on and standing against the wiles of the devil. Nope. You're deceived, and the wiles of the devil have got you. Let's be real. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Timothy, my wrestlings aren't with you. Brother Dale, my wrestlings aren't with you. When I have wrestlings in me, it's something else that's going on. Said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And certainly some of us wrestle a lot against flesh and blood. But let me tell you, there's a spiritual battle going on behind the scenes. You better be aware of it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's spiritual wickedness going on all about us. Dustin, there's wickedness in you, but there's spiritual wickedness that is helping you to be yet more wicked. It's helping you.
Right.
Said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, for that reason, take unto you the whole armor of God. That's the second time He told you to do it. Take unto you the whole armor of God. I'm pretty sure that if God instructed us to do something twice, it's probably his will.
Yeah.
It's probably his will. And you know what? I know in 1 John he said, if we pray anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us.
Mm-hmm. Good, brother.
And that'd probably be a pretty good thing to pray about. Probably good, pretty good thing to pray about. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You know what? Some days don't seem so evil to me, but most days really do seem pretty evil to me. I'll just be coasting along, and suddenly I'll have those thoughts. I'm not talking about the weirdo, perverse thoughts that some of you have, but I'm talking about that song we sing right at the end of this, right at the end of this hymn book, where it says, I want a principle within of watchful godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. Help me the first approach to feel of pride or wrong desire.
Amen.
To feel the first approach.
Right.
And I'll suddenly realize we're way past the first approach. We're into the third and the fourth approach. Pride is all about me. Nothing I have said has been in the spirit. I am full of pride. In this destruction, I realize I have not been walking in the spirit. I'm not wearing the armor of God at this moment. I'm defeated in it.
Yeah. Right.
Said, wherefore take unto you the... And I haven't been able to withstand in the evil day. I haven't been able to withstand. But what did he say? He said, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then what? And having done all, to stand. To stand. That's not to stand in your opinions. It's not to stand in whatever it is that you think. It's to stand in the person of Jesus Christ in the armor of God, obeying the will of God in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Said, stand therefore, stand therefore, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What is the truth? Why, I know that contained within this book is the truth. I shouldn't even have said it that way. Contained within this book, I know that this is the truth. This is the truth. Having my loins girt about with truth. Why would I need that about my loins? Because things get in there that aren't the truth, and they wound me.
Right.
They wound me. I'm wounded. And why do I need it? I've told God sometimes, God, I need doctrine to help me. I need doctrine that I might know. I might know. That way, those things that come at me, and they're a wounding to me, I can point to the scripture and say, that's the truth.
Yeah.
I don't care. That's the truth.
Amen.
Having my loins girt about with truth.
Amen.
Stand therefore. Nope. Missed my place here. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And I don't know how much to say about that, other than I go back to Romans chapter 3, of which God gave me understanding while you preached those many months or years ago at this point, a couple years ago, where he preached and understanding that God places the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, on them that believe. And that breastplate of righteousness is upon the believer. And I just understand, it's not about my righteousness. I'm not walking. I can't be looking to my own righteousness, but looking unto the righteousness of the Savior moment by moment. I'm not justified by my works, but by my Savior and his righteousness and the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's a help to me. It's a help to realize. Why? Because the devil would love to get your thoughts off of that. Why? Because you're wounded and you cannot walk as you ought. He just loves to tear your thoughts off of those things because he knows that will get you off track. You will not obey God. You will not do what you're supposed to do if he can just show you what a wretch that you are.
Yes, sir.
He can just show you what a wretch you are. And if you are a wretch, God help you. God help you. Repent of that thing. I certainly am a wretch, but I know whom I have believed. and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What's that? My soul. My soul. He said, find where I'm at here. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, he didn't say your feet shod with the gospel of peace, but he said your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There must be a preparation of the gospel of peace. I can't go up to a lost person and explain to them the peace of God and just say this thing and you'll be saved and grant them peace. I can't give them peace, but I can tell them there is a law. There is a word of God, and God has given commandments, and begin to build a foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone thereof, and begin to build upon that thing, that there might be a preparation, that at some time they might look around and wonder, what can I do? What can I do? And at that point, now they can have the gospel of peace. But up until that point, the gospel of peace goes in one ear and out the other. That way, you must walk with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, saying those things that are going to be to the subverting of the here. I charge thee before the Lord that you speak not. Well, let's find it. 2 Timothy, I don't want to quote it wrong. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14 says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit. Brother Dale, that's what I done with you the other day. That's what I done with you. I'm sorry. Shouldn't have done that. That you strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers.
Amen.
I'm coming in with the preparation, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that I might speak, not as just striving with them about words to no profit. And how would I know they're to no profit? Because it ain't working. It ain't working.
Amen.
You're just, farther down in that chapter, he said of this. Verse 24 said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Apt to teach. Gentle unto them. Apt to teach. Your feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's to understand that you're walking and that your speech and the things that you say, it needs to be to prepare people to have the gospel of peace. Preach to them that they might hear. My feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16 says this. And you know what? The whole armor is really important. Well, God's going to let you know that, nope, there's a piece. He says to take the whole thing, but he's going to let you know this piece is the most important. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith. And some of you are doomed right there. You got no faith. You got no faith. I speak not this. I don't say the things that I'm saying as a detraction against you and to wound you. But I know where you can get faith.
That's right.
And that's from Jesus Christ. And that he'll give it as a free gift unto you.
Sure will.
You don't have to stay in that condition.
Yep.
There's absolutely no reason that you have to stay in that condition. Verse 16 said, above all, taking the shield of faith. Taking it. Now this is the first piece where God commanded you to take it. The rest of them were pretty automatic. He just said having. You were to have them already. I believe the saints got them. But verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Keep reading. Don't have a thought. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And my father's often said it, or maybe not often, but he said it multiple times. Some people say, well, that's to catch all those arrows. No, to quench something is to put it out.
Right.
To put it out. put that shield over that fire. And you no longer have to listen to that. That's what the shield of faith does for me. The shield of faith, the doubts will come into my mind. Considerations of this thing or that thing. Consideration of what a person has said or that thing. And the word of God. And I speak yet and glorify the word of God and raise it up onto a pedestal even higher than I have already to say that the word of God will come into my mind. And that word of God do I believe. And that word of God is the faith unto me. That word of God do I believe. And I can put out that stupid thought that was contrary to the word of God. And I understand that was wrong. This was right.
Amen.
I take the shield of faith. I'm talking that you need to have the shield of faith to believe the word of God. That's not to say that you know all the scripture, but that's saying that you believe the scripture that God gives you. To believe it. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, that's not mean 97%, because if you're only able to quench 97%, that's not the shield of faith that's written here in the scripture. This shield of faith says, I'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hallelujah. I'll just believe that one. All of them. I don't have to deal with just one or two fires going on. I can quench every one of them.
Amen.
Verse 17 said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, my head, which is Christ, he's got my helmet for me. And I don't even have much to say on it. Honestly, I've just said the things that God put on my heart. But hallelujah, thank God for the helmet of salvation. And if you've got something, preach about it. He said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. That Spirit of God bears witness with me. And you know what that sword of that Spirit is? Why, it's that precious word of God. It's the very thing that some of you abhor and you loathe. And you hate the words therein. You'd never say that you hate the word of God, but you disagree with it. And God, and God, and God said that you hate it. God said that you hate it. You can say whatever you want to say with your mouth, but if you disagree with the word of God, you hate it.
Amen.
So then take and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But if you notice there, that wasn't the end of things. He didn't put a period there. In fact, there's a colon. And he said, praying. And Pastor Haynes preached this. And it was a great help to me. Why? Because God had begun to meet with me just the previous day and to allow me to pray like I had not prayed before. It's a glorious thing, and I'm just going to preach about it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, I heard Brother Sammy Allen preaching as a message that Brother Tim McVeigh had sent out to me. I was very low, and he said, I think this will help. And as that man of God was preaching, he said, there's no substitute for Spirit-filled praying. Boy, ain't that the truth.
Amen.
There's no substitute for Spirit-filled praying.
Amen.
Why? God will put the Word of God in your heart. I just keep going back to the Word of God. But you know what? I noticed there that it said that the sword of the Spirit was the Word of God. And if the Spirit, and if I was to be praying in the Spirit of God, and if I was to be filled with the Spirit of God, I think he'd have his sword with him. And he'd be using the Word of God in my heart. That's what I rejoice in. I rejoice in the Word of God. And I pray with Scripture flowing through my heart. And I rejoice in the truth of the Word of God. And I love it. I rejoice in it. I love it. Said praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For all saints. And that's still not the end of it. Verse 19 said, and for me. You know what? Apostle Paul's long dead. He's long dead. I think we could rightly apply this. to the men of God who get up and preach in pulpits, that they have this, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. To boldly do it. To make known that mystery. Why? Because it's something that's been hid. It's something not understood. It's something saying that you sit there and you just have no idea what we're talking about. I'm talking about a reality as real as you're sitting there.
Right.
And a rejoicing and a glory beyond all the filth that you've ever been involved in. Beyond all the happiness and the fun things that you've done. I glory in God my Savior beyond all of that. I'm absolutely certain of it.
Amen.
And watch it. And to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Speak boldly as I ought to speak. Brethren, we have a meeting coming up. We have a prayer meeting coming up before, well, kind of in the middle of things. I beg you to put on the armor of God. Indeed, as he has instructed you to do. Miss Tanya, put on the armor of God.
Amen.
As he's instructed you to do. He told you to do it. You will rejoice in it.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, you can close.
If I sing a song.
All right. You get that, just raise your voice.